Welcome to Storytime by Chava. Today's story was written by Ashran Baltazar, adapted from Sichas HaShavua, published on Chabad.org, and called The Magid and the Informer. Rabbi Moshe Yitzchak, the Magid of Kelm, Lithuania, traveled from town to town to inspire the general public. At each new place, he spent time meandering, mingling with the residents, hearing their questions, identifying their shortcomings, and obtaining a glimpse into their daily struggles so he could mold his talks to address the most relevant issues in each location. Time and again, he captivated his audience who found his speeches uniquely relatable. Once, he arrived in a small town and immediately began looking for someone to chat with. Noticing the Magid, one local shook his head. "There's not much for you to do here," he said. "Thank God this town is brimming with the fear of heaven and many good things. Your search will lead you nowhere." It was the first time the Magid had heard something like this. He badgered the local, trying to catch a whiff of any substandard conduct that might be going on. But the local remained unfazed, brushing off all the questions by heaping even more praise upon the town. "Nothing? Not even a single thing?" blurted the Magid finally. "Surely the town isn't perfect." "Now that you mention it," said the local slowly, "we do have one small problem. His name is Yankel the Informer. That man is too happy to linger around government officials and often betrays us to ingratiate himself with them. I doubt anything you can say will change his mind. He is a lost cause." The Magid was taken aback by the change in sentiment. "That's quite unfortunate. But if what you say is true, is there any virtuous quality about Yankel? Even the smallest thing?" "Yes," said the local, smiling bitterly. "The man is a man of his word. Whenever Yankel promises something, that promise is a guarantee." The local suddenly froze, his gaze now directed past the Magid's shoulder, all color draining from his cheeks. "He knows we're talking about him. Sorry, I must go," he muttered, sidestepping the Magid and scurrying away. The Magid turned around to see a man walking towards him. Dressed in expensive clothes with a broad stride that exuded smugness, there was no doubt that this was Yankel. The Magid didn't hesitate. "Hello there, Reb Yankel," he called, holding out his hand as he went. Yankel faltered, a confused look on his face. So much vitriol had been constantly thrown his way, he expected nothing else, much less the honorable title of Reb. "I have a favor to ask of you," said the Magid cheerily, ignoring Yankel's shock. "Allow me to introduce myself. I am a Magid, and it is my job to give speeches in different towns. After I finish, I pass through the crowd and collect a few donations from which I support my family back home. You, as an honored man of the community, can draw a large crowd by simply attending my speech, and perhaps doubling or even tripling the number of donations I expect to receive. So please, come to my talk this afternoon." "I don't do favors, and I don't attend speeches," said Yankel coldly. But the Magid wouldn't take no for an answer. Even though Yankel repeated his refusal many times, he found it impossible to send the Magid away. His patience began to run thinly. "Fine," spat Yankel, exasperated. "I'll come to your speech." The Magid smiled warmly. "Great. I'm excited because I heard you keep your word quite well. Promise me you'll come." Left with no choice, Yankel assured the Magid he would attend. More and more people continued to arrive, steadily increasing the crowd that already exceeded the standing room of the local synagogue. The Magid looked on from the podium, eyeing the open door frequently. Furious whispers and a sudden ripple passed through the crowd. Every head turned to watch Yankel push his way through the crowd to the front of the synagogue, where he sat down rather huffily. Hateful stares were thrown in his direction. "All Israel have a share in the world to come," began the Magid loudly, prompting the noise in the crowd to dissipate into eager silence. Over the course of an hour, the Magid expounded upon this famous teaching from the Mishnah, complimenting his words with bites of commentary and masterful retellings of stories. Then he fell quiet. He turned his gaze and peered over the many heads at Yankel, throwing the crowd into confused whispers once more. His voice was clear when he spoke. "You too, Reb Yankel. Banish the thought that you're no longer entitled to your place in the world to come. And if you suspect, rightfully so, that I am speaking nonsense, I hereby offer my share in the afterworld for sale. Flushed and uncomfortable, Yankel regarded the Maggid in embarrassed silence. The Maggid continued, "The price, however, is your agreement and permanent cooperation to better your ways. You must discontinue fraternizing with people who hate us and return to your nation's open, welcoming arms." In the moments following the Maggid's words, one could hear a pin drop. The room held its breath. From his seat, Yankel seemed lost. His eyes were cast into his lap, shoulders slumped and unresponsive. And every now and then, he'd afford a fleeting, doleful glance at the crowd. Yes. Even though Yankel's answer was barely audible, the Maggid heard. Immediately, he motioned to the town's judges and asked them to prepare a bill of sale. The transaction consisted of the Maggid's share in the world to come, provided Yankel respected it by improving his ways. Yankel took the bill from the Maggid, hands shaking. The Maggid turned to the crowd and continued his speech, further inspiring all those gathered. "Remember, Reb Yankel," finished the Maggid finally, "remember not to lose your world to come, your Olam Haba. This is your chance to begin a new chapter of your life, so please don't sour this precious opportunity." Years passed. Eventually, the Maggid of Kelm happened to be visiting the same town once more. When he asked about Yankel the Informer, his question was met with confusion. "There's no man here with that name," he was told. Warm joy overcame the Maggid, because that's when he learned that the transaction he made so long ago had come to fruition.